From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a glorious sunny day, but we've still got snow on the mountains. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia in a town called Poprad, hence the programme Postcard from Poprad. What could be easier? It's the alternative sideways look at the news. And hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and some guys on WDRC. You never know. Explain that in a minute. My cohorts. Is that right?
I'm not a horse.
Cohorties.
Cohorties. We'll go the other way around for a change. We'll divert our little continent around Europe by going to Paris first and introducing Mark Gander, co-founder of the Consumer Action Group.
Yes. Well, hello, everybody. Hello from Paris. Very great. It's actually stopped raining for about 5 minutes, but it'll start again soon. It's unbelievably bad weather.
Oops.
Yes, nothing much more to say really about Paris today. Hello.
So yours is bad. Look out, here comes the worst bit. From the zit of the nose of Europe, it's Lee Banks.
Hello.
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 I was just checking, right,
what?
And this is the truth, and I would like to do a straw poll of the universe, if I can, of all the people that listen to us.
Mm.
Is there anybody else in the Western Hemisphere, where summer now exists, that is sitting in front of a log fire at this time of day, trying desperately to keep warm with his coat on? Or is it just me?
I think it's just you.
You're just a wimp.
Well, you know what they always say, don't you, Mark?
No, I don't actually happen to know what they always say. But
well, the sun shines on the righteous. And I do believe that you've had some sunshine, Mark. We've definitely had some sunshine, and Lee's had none for the entire period of 2012.
I have.
Have you? When?
We had 3 weeks.
You're right.
In March.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
That's when we had ours as well.
Right, let's move on, boys and girls. First of all, thank you to everybody for the BBC We Say No campaign. Mm. Loads of amazing messages on there and loads of great support as well. Numbers keep swelling, so if you're on Facebook, do go and have a look. BBC We Say No is the fan page as we try to retain, this is really bizarre, a radio station based in Slovakia, as we campaign to retain BBC local stations. And one marvellous one in that I picked out from hundreds as it goes. A gentleman wrote, "Wonderful. I'm only 37, not the target audience for BBC local radio, and Roger Day plays the only good music on the BBC channels. SOTS accepted, which I think means Sounds of the 70s, which is Johnny Walker's programme on Radio 2. We don't need more talk radio from either a lout, a la John Gaunt, or some Midshire's knitted sweater numpty that you can put on your local radio daytime slots. I'll be going back to Radio 2 and Radio 4 for this slot. Now, hang on, I'm going to put some records on. Why can't the BBC not realise when they have something that's good, they should keep it? If you want to save money, scrap programmes like The Organist Entertains or take the jump leads off Desmond Carrington so that he no longer functions.
Are there really such programmes?
Really? And even get rid of the Now Show on Radio 4. Mark?
Not the Now Show!
Because Mark's a Radio 4-aholic. Just keep Roger Day, even if his Twiggy persona is a little embarrassing. Work on it, guys, or you'll lose one of your few listeners under the age of 85. I think that kind of says it all, really, doesn't it, gentlemen?
Well, it does in a way, but can I just, unless I misheard the beginning of what he was saying, did he say that their music was good?
No.
The opposite. He said the opposite.
No, what he's saying is certain programmes on BBC locals play good music. And
what a load of rubbish. You are talking rubbish. They play the worst music that's ever, ever been played. My
Lee,
grandmother plays better
Lee,
music.
Lee, yeah. Lee, yeah. You live in the north of the country.
This
this gentleman is referencing programmes that go out in the south of the country.
That is racism!
Is it really?
That is a racist remark. I am reporting you!
And referencing Roger Day's programme, which plays not the same kind of music that you get on your local radio station.
That is just rubbish.
Why?
The fact is, because the BBC, in all these cuts, only have four records, and two of those are Phil Collins. And that's all that they play.
Well, I'm very worried about this gentleman here. And I mean, asking for the Now Show to become the Then Show, I think is just going a bit too far.
Oh.
It's great stuff.
What is the Now Show, then?
Oh, I think it's on about, it's about sort of 6:30. It's your sort of 6:30 comedy slot. And if you're in the United States of America, go to internet, get onto the BBC, listen to the Now Show, and you will laugh.
Okay. Well, actually, it's a good point that anywhere in the world, because it's all free, you can listen to BBC radio.
You
can't watch the telly, but you can listen to the radio.
Just turn the records off.
Do you know what, Lee?
What?
I'm gonna give you a little suggestion.
If it begins with and ends with, you can do it as well.
Get on your internet tool or ask a teenager to help you and have a listen to the Roger Day Show on BBC Kent and Surrey and all sorts of other wonderful places. And then Roger Day Show. And tell me you don't like the music on it because it's so suited to you, it's painful. He's shut up now, isn't he?
I'm just treating it with the disdain it deserves.
All right, then.
And asking me to put my internet tool on is just absolutely disgusting.
Anyway, a big shout out to Ron Sedalia, who's plays the request show on 1092 WDRC FM in the US, who's said nice things about us. And I have to say, boys and girls, if you want to hear an amazing music program without
good music,
really good music without lots of waffle, but incredibly powerfully put together.
Without Phil Collins,
actually, I haven't heard. Well, if people ask for Phil Collins, I'm sure Big Rocking Ron would play it.
Big Rocking Ron, you've got a good show.
Anyway, it's a really good music show, especially if you like gold music. 102.9, it's on the internet, WDRC-FM. Have a listen, and thanks, Ron, for all the nice words. Really appreciate it.
Can I say something? This is a message to Ron at the radio station there. Yeah. If you want your brand to become a bit more memorable, if you could find a couple of vowels to put in that lot, it'll be easier, please.
He's not allowed.
Well, I think it's inhuman.
Just ignore it, Ron. We don't want you moving your vowels on the air.
Because that's the call sign, dear boy.
Yes, that's the call sign. You're so silly.
You could call it simply as a word, couldn't you?
Well,
you
know, I see what you're saying,
whack-a,
yes.
Whack-a, it's time for something.
Right. Anyway, no, that's what... oh, I've forgotten the regulator in America for a minute. But they give out the call sign, and that's what you have to use, I'm afraid. Yeah. WDRC 1029. Thanks to Ron for the nice things, and good luck with your show, mate. It's worth listening to. I also have to say a million thanks to literally hundreds of birthday wishes for a young Eric this week. Thank you so much, everybody on Facebook. That was really kind of you.
Was it your birthday?
Marvellous, isn't it? Marvellous.
Mark.
Has the door and gone out?
Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his future. Just walked out the door when he realised how old he was. Hey, Mark, we forgot Eric's birthday. Do you think we should sing happy birthday to him?
I think we should, yes. No. How old are you?
Yes.
Oldie Eric.
Yes.
Oh, right,
66.
Yes.
No.
Lickety-click.
Mm-hmm. No.
Are you ready, Mark? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday.
That's enough of that then. It's got rid of them completely till they finished. Oh, they're still singing. Hang on.
You look.
They're still talking. I'll just fill for a second while they finish off this thing. Oh, hang on.
You.
It's finished.
R.I.P.
Stop it. Anyway, thank you very, very much indeed to everybody who sent me both cyber cards, cyber beer, and
cyber bugs, apparently. Might talk about that later, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we won't. Anyway, on to some more serious bits before we get on to the news. And Rutherford. Somebody I actually know of.
Yeah. Amazing. She's Gone with the Wind.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. He lifted it off my headline.
I did. Oh, is he yours? Sorry. I need to attribute that to Lee Banks.
Yes. Well, but mostly this
show is...
Gone
with the gut, Come with the Dust, and Gone with the Wind. Oh, they are. Ron in America. Me and you understand that, don't we?
Well, yeah. Hang on. If he's got a Mancunian decipher on, yes.
What? Gone with the Dust and Come with the... I mean, Come with the Dust and Gone with the Wind.
Lee, if he's got a Mancunian decipher on...
If he knows who Woody Guthrie is...
Mark, he's not getting this, is he?
Well, I didn't get it either, actually.
Didn't
I
didn't want to say. Birthday boy.
It's all right. I'll tell you what, Ron. Anyway. We'll put a link on to RTI.fm where you can buy a special little digital box for Mancunian decoding. Then you'll be able to hear a third of the programme. Without it, you won't.
Okay. Still don't get it. Anyway. But she got to 94 years old anyway. Not too bad. Suffering from heart problems. I mean, it's hardly unusual. Amazing.
Mate, he's really good, actually.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah. Anyway, moving along. Pete Cozy, a jazz guitarist who's best known for his work with Miles Davis in the 70s.
The Wah-Wah King.
Yeah, he was, actually. He was really, really good. Died at the age of 86 years young. That's sad, really, isn't it?
But after an operation, I wonder what the operation was. It was very tragic.
Yeah, all these things.
Lee, you've gone quiet again. Talking to your microphone might help.
Does that sound better?
A bit. You're all whooshy and horrible and noisy.
Oh, I don't know.
Listen, we're meant to be paying our respects here to these people.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Exactly. You're quite right.
Jazz guitarist, wah-wah king, dead and gone. Wah-wahed for the last time. That's it. Poor old Pete.
Yeah. Played alongside some awfully famous people as well, didn't he? Including Etta James.
Etta James, Charles Mingus. All those kinds of people.
Yeah,
he was.
Indeed.
He actually, if you think, being serious, this is one of the men who laid the basis for progressive rock and roll music, which came out of jazz anyway, as we all know.
You mean prog rock?
Mark, did you understand what I did when I used a full word instead of a little half word?
Yes.
But it's called prog rock.
Well, it wasn't when I used to listen to the Soft Machine, it wasn't.
Oh, right then. All right, then. Tangerine Dream as well.
Birthday boy. Well. Yeah, out your time.
Hang on, Lee, you can do this one. The Goodfellas icon dies.
Yeah, well, I think this is another tragedy. The former gangster whose life story was the basis for the hit Hollywood movie Goodfellas has actually shuffled off this mortal coil. And he did it at that apposite age of 69. That would be something to think about when he's in the grave.
Yes.
But he is the man whose name isn't actually on the list for some inexplicable... Henry Hill! He was played by Ray Liotta. Henry Hill, played by Ray Liotta in the 1990 classic mob film, died sadly, and his family said it's just his heart gave out.
Oh, bless. Anyway, moving on to a bit of research that's coming out this week. The results of a survey reveals that people would prefer to lose the content of their wallets rather than the mobile phone.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Mark?
Well, I suppose it depends what the contents of your wallets are. I mean, if it's just money, I have to say that losing a phone could be very much more inconvenient and more expensive. If the contents of your wallet include all the credit cards and other bits and pieces that may be important to your existence, I don't know, it could be touch and go. So I don't know. I mean, it's a strange, very generalised statement to make. Who has it made this statement then?
Oh, it was, hang on, I'll tell you, it was a security company, Secure Envoy, that did the research.
Right. And what's it going to do with them? Why?
Well, I'll bet you they're either selling mobile phone insurance or they're selling mobile phone trackers or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to know who's conducting the research, because quite frankly it sounds like a dodgy conclusion to me.
No, I'm not sure
you can say it's dodgy.
No, it's called PR, Mark.
PR, which is a bit of a dodgy
spelled
business.
D-O-D-G-Y, you know? Yes, you're right.
But
the lie trade, actually.
If you lose your phone, right, that in a way is a sense of freedom. That frees you, that severs you from the tyranny of this new burgeoning world where you can't escape for a sec.
Well, I'm afraid I don't think it does.
Whereas if you lose your money, you are actually cut off from the world. You can't go anywhere, you can't eat, you can't do anything. Losing your mobile phone is preferable to losing your wallet.
Well, I think it delivers you to a new kind of tyranny, actually. I mean, the first thing is that a lot of people now use mobile phones instead of any other telephone. Mm. So it really does cut you off from friends, family, business, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. How many friends have you got, Mark?
How many friends? Well, there's you two, I think.
And you never phone us?
I do sometimes, when I have to.
Yeah. You could do it from a phone box on the corner in Paris.
There aren't phone boxes on the corner around here anymore. It's very, very difficult. The other thing is that, you know, you lay yourself then open to identity theft because people keep all sorts of information on there. Yep. And one of the big things in the news at the moment is that the people's mobile phones are getting stolen. And then by the time they've discovered the loss and reported it, they found there's huge numbers of calls being made to premium rate numbers and all sorts of things. Mm. And they're being saddled with hundreds or even thousands of pounds of bills because the mobile phone companies basically say that you're responsible for all the charges that you made on your phone. And this is a big issue at the moment on the Consumer Action Group.
Is there no insurance for mobile phones?
Well, you can get insurance and you can get insured for that. But first of all, it's still very difficult. But I think more interestingly is, because I'm starting to look at this quite recently, who is the victim? Well, if you have your mobile phone stolen, then yes, you're the victim of that. But who is the victim of the fraud? And I think actually it's the mobile phone companies. And I think it's the mobile phone companies that are being defrauded out of losing this in fact, I'm dealing with a case at the moment where somebody's had been defrauded out of £4,000, or let's say the mobile phone company is trying to get £4,000. And they're saying, well, you've got a contract to be responsible for it. Well, I think that all they're trying to do is pass on their stolen losses, in other words, the proceeds of crime losses, onto the customer. But actually, I think that they are the loser, and I don't think that, in fact, I think they're prevented by law, if you want to know, from recouping stolen money from their customers.
I think that's a very good point because of what you said. Mm-hmm. About responsibility. Is it irresponsible to be robbed? I don't think it is irresponsible.
Absolutely, it's not.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, I'll jump in on it on a story I don't think I've ever told before, and it goes back many, many years to the...
Oh, not that one again.
Yes. To the old brick-style mobiles, which had the battery case the size of a brick, which I actually had left in my car. Some little like broke in, smashed the window and nicked the mobile. And I then got a bill from this company, and when I looked at it, half the phone calls were to an Australian number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I didn't make the call. Yeah, but you're responsible. I said, no, hang on a minute. Let's get the basic question. Did I make the phone call? Ah, yeah, but it was your phone. I said, no, I didn't authorise anybody to do it. Did I make the phone call? And after lots of arguing, they agreed I did not make the phone call. And I said, fine, in which case I'm not paying the bill.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think that's exactly a really good example of how this thing should work. And I'm sure ultimately, and I'm sure Mark will find this out and prove it, that's exactly how it should work.
Well, I think that's the way it should work as well. But I can tell you that the mobile phone companies now absolutely routinely require their customers to pay the whole lot, and if you're good enough and persistent enough, you might be able to get a certain amount of it rebated as a so-called gesture of goodwill, you know, which is a nasty little tactic.
Mark, another tip for them, and it is worth noting, and I'm not suggesting anybody should do anything naughty, but the fact is, it is a well-known fact that mobile phones can be cloned. Now, if it's cloned, because you don't know whether it's been cloned or whether it's been stolen or stolen and cloned, how can you be responsible for an illegal activity that you're not party to?
Well, that's absolutely right. But, I mean, it doesn't need to be cloned for that. I mean, in fact, I'm trying to help somebody at the moment who's got a 4,000 bill because he was mugged in South Africa. And they simply took the SIM card. Goodness knows why, but they simply took the SIM card. Mm. The phone was actually left, And so the SIM card was used. Well, the contract with T-Mobile says we remain the owners of the SIM card at all times. So it's T-Mobile's SIM card, and T-Mobile are now saying, yes, but by contract, you're responsible for all the bills. Well, I don't think you are responsible for goods which have been stolen.
Right. You know, that's really... Well, do you know what we're going to do? Hang on, because I think both of you have forgotten something here. We have communication with T-Mobile's head office.
We do.
If you remember, we got certain people exempt from an upgrade cost on old-fashioned modems last year. So I think what we'll do, Mark, is we will help the gentleman or lady get in touch with the significant person in Germany at the head office. Yeah. And we'll see what comes out of it.
Well, that would be very good. That would be
make a point here on this basis? I think it's dead simple. I understand what Mark's saying and what you're saying, Eric, but there is a simple fact of life here, and a contract can't change this. Even if you sign the contract, you can't change the basic elements of life. If somebody stole your car out of your driveway and used it as a getaway car in a bank robbery, would you be responsible for that bank robbery?
No, exactly. But I think the best answer to this one, Mark, is we'll speak to the nice press officer we spoke to
before. I think we should.
And we'll get the details through that way, and we'll see what the head office has got to say.
Great. It'll be very interesting to see.
There's an interesting one for you. Yes. Another new report before we get onto the news has come out that warns that online alcohol sales are creating a significant and emerging battleground in the fight against underage drinking.
What's the danger of virtual alcohol?
Well, it's not, because what I can see what they're saying, that some kids...
Because you can buy it on the internet.
Yeah, some internet sites are less than good at checking, is what the allegation is. Mm. And therefore, people who are under the age of 18 with an ID card... with a credit card, are just buying the alcohol, having it delivered in the normal sort of way that any online goods are delivered, and circumventing the 18-year-old rule. And I suppose in some ways that is quite right.
Well, it is right, but it's no different than anybody else has ever done when you used to get beer delivered to your door on the back of a wagon. Yeah. You could phone it up and pretend it was for your dad.
Right.
Well, I think I think online access makes it particularly easy. And given the problems, given these kind of problems, you know, there are bans against sales of certain things. And I don't see any problem, quite frankly, with banning online sales of alcohol. I know the industry will be up in arms about it, but, you know, just too bad.
I can't see that. Why would you ban supermarkets from doing it as well?
I think there's a better chance.
No, I mean supermarkets online. You ordering alcohol online,
I'd ban it completely. Ban it.
Yeah. But what you're actually saying, Mark, is that you want to undermine the very basis of what the internet is about, which is ease of action, ease of ordering food, ease of ordering anything
to do with the ease of crime. Then I think yes, I want to undermine that completely.
I don't think this is to do with crime. This is to do.
Well, you're right. That was a wrong word. That was not a good word to use.
Let's just take a quote from Dr. Adrian Barton of Plymouth University that were involved in this. And he says, most underage drinkers realise it's now not that easy to walk into a shop to buy alcohol. And that's probably the same as here, where people are asked for ID for age. This factor added to more relaxed attitudes towards alcohol consumption by parents and relatives, added to the growth of the internet, creating a perfect storm in the battle against underage drinking. And the report that's available on servelegal.co.uk is something that he's advocating we should read. And I have to say, on the other side of the fence, there's a lot of little shops around, in the middle of towns and places that are just round the corner from where you live. Why don't go and walk down there and buy it? And so in some ways, I sympathise with what Mark's saying, because if it stops uncontrolled, uneducated drinking, that's not a bad thing. Now, I was lucky in that my parents introduced me to a little glass of wine at dinner time when I was a teenager. And so I understood things. And I would go to the pub with my father and I'd have an orange and he'd have a small glass of something, in which in his world it was a brown ale, I think. But, you know, we were introduced and educated about alcohol.
I can't see that. I think the youth of today are perfectly well educated about alcohol. They see the excesses of alcohol on everything from entertainment programs, health programs, adverts put out by the government, scare tactics used, things on the internet that are talked about. I think these kids understand it. I don't think there's any difference than going down to an off license with your grown up mate and say, yeah, go in there and get us 10.
I have to say, Lee, if the other research is right, any advert that's put on the television, terrestrial television, literally focused at teenagers or targeting teenagers, is a complete waste of space because they don't watch the television. they are the YouTube generation.
Well, to be honest, I couldn't blame the teenagers for doing it. I've abandoned television because it is so rubbish and actually so filled with adverts. That's what amazes me when people say things like that.
Right? How does France approach this, Mark?
Well, I'm really not in contact with what goes on in this country very much. I don't bother to read the news and I don't bother to go out very much. My understanding is that they've got a rising alcohol problem, I have to say. But, you know, I haven't... I have actually seen a bit of it. I mean, I've started to see young people wandering around drunk and so forth. You know, there are rules. I don't know how well they're enforced.
Why do we call it a problem? You've just automatically called drinking a problem.
What I mean is excessive drinking, and particularly
excessive
drinking.
I have been a drinking man all my life. Mm. Excuse me, some people might say that I have drunk to excess, but I've never been out of work, I've never lost a job, I've never caused trouble, anything. Drinking is an integral part of our life, and as such, is being attacked from left, right and centre. I do not agree for a second that children...
Are you telling me these programmes that are on, recorded in typically Spain... with everybody getting blathered and falling about and vomiting on the sidewalk.
You were never like that, were you, Lee? I mean, you know, your drinking never went to those kind of binge levels.
I stopped that last night. Last night was the last time I did that. I agree that, of course, there are problems with drink. I do not agree with this blanket attitude towards alcohol. Is that anybody who drinks... We have a new research come out, because I'm amazed that Eric is getting so bland about this research, because we have new research just come out in England saying that actually to drink safely, that now you can only have 2 glasses of wine a week.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that is just ludicrous. Some people have 2 glasses of wine for breakfast. And that's mainly in France. And that doesn't mean that they are alcoholics or have problems. That is the culture of drinking. Britain is a big drinking culture, just as Russia is, just as France is, just as Germany is. We are a big drinking nation.
We're going to leave it there, boys and girls. That's the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Brad for this week. We'll have a little drink in the middle of before we come back in part two. Don't go away. Don't forget, quickly make that cup of tea, have a milkshake, or even have a cup of coffee.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.